but they did not add up to world domination, and Lord Hong was particularly in favour of that, provided it was achieved by Lord Hong. "If I was the traditional type of Grand Vizier," he thought as he sat down before his tea table, "I'd cackle with laughter at this point." He smiled to himself instead. Time for the box again? No. Some things were all the better for the anticipation. Mad Hamish's wheelchair caused a few heads to turn, but no actual comment. Undue curiosity was not a survival trait in Hung Hung. They just got on with their work, which appeared to be the endless carrying of stacks of paper along corridors. Cohen looked down at what was in his hand. Over the decades, he'd fought with many weapons. Swords, of course, and bows and spears and clubs and... well, now he came to think of it, just about anything. Except this.
"I still don't like it," said Truckle. "Why are we carrying pieces of paper?"
"Because no one looks at you in a place like this if you're carrying a piece of paper," said Mr. Savaloy.
"Why?"
"What?" said Mad Hamish.
"It's a kind of magic."
"I'd feel happier if it was a weapon."
"As a matter of fact, it can be the greatest weapon there is."
"I know. I've just cut myself on my bit," said Boy Willie, sucking his finger. "What?"
"Look at it like this, gentlemen," said Mr. Savaloy. "Here we are, actually inside the Forbidden City, and no one is dead."
"Yes, that's what we're danging complaining about," said Truckle.
Mr. Savaloy sighed. There was something in the way Truckle used words. It didn't matter what he actually said. What you heard was in some strange way the word he actually meant. He could turn the air blue just by saying, "socks." The door slammed shut behind Rincewind, and there was the sound of a bolt shooting into place. The Empire's jails were pretty much like the ones at home. When you want to incarcerate such an ingenious creature as the common human being, you tend to rely on the good old-fashioned iron bar and large amounts of stone. It looked as though this well-tried pattern had been established here for a very long time. Well, he'd definitely scored a hit with the Emperor. For some reason, this did not reassure him. The man gave Rincewind the distinct impression of being the kind of person who was at least as dangerous to his friends as to his enemies. He remembered Noodle Jackson back in the days when he was a very young student. Everyone wanted to be friends with Noodle, but somehow, if you were in his gang, you found yourself being trodden on, or chased by the watch, or being hit in fights you didn't start, while Noodle was somewhere on the edge of things laughing. Besides, the Emperor wasn't simply at death's door, but, well, inside the hallway, admiring the carpet and commenting on the hat stand. And you didn't have to be a political genius to know that when someone like that died, scores were being settled before he'd even got cold. Anyone he'd publicly called a friend would have a life expectancy more normally associated with things that hover over trout streams at sunset. Rincewind moved aside a skull and sat down. There was the possibility of rescue, he supposed, but the Red Army would be hard put to it to rescue a rubber duck from drowning. Anyway, that had put him back in the clutches of Butterfly, who terrified him almost as much as the Emperor. He had to believe that the gods didn't intend for Rincewind, after all his adventures, to rot in a dungeon. No, he added bitterly, they probably had something much more inventive in mind. What light reached the dungeon came from a very small grill and had a second-hand look. The rest of the furnishing was a pile of what had possibly once been straw. There was a gentle tapping on the wall. Once, twice, three times. Rincewind picked up the skull and returned the signal. One tap came back. He repeated it. Then there were two. He tapped twice. Well, this was familiar. Communication without meaning. It was just like being back at Unseen University. "Fine," he said, his voice echoing in the cell. "Fine. Tray prisoner. But what are we saying?" There was a gentle scraping noise, and one of the blocks in the wall very gently slid out of the wall, dropping onto Rincewind's foot.
"Ah! What big hippo?"
said a muffled voice.
"What? Sorry."
"What?"
"You wanted to know about the tapping code. It's how we communicate between cells, you see. One tap means..."
"Excuse me, but aren't we communicating now?"
"Yes, but not formally. Prisoners are not allowed to talk."
The voice slowed down, as if the speaker had suddenly remembered something important.